Thank you, Pastor Mercer. He also asked me to just give a brief report on our ministry there in Mexico, very brief. But before that, let us pray to start, and I will ask you to stand up and look, search in your Bibles for Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we are going to pray verses 25 through 40. We're going to stand up and pray Psalm 119, verse 25 through verse 40. And after verse 40, let us say in Christ's name, amen, as we usually end our prayers. But let us stand up, please, and everybody speaking loud, everybody, we're going to appropriate ourselves of this prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 119, 25 to verse 40. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so as I shall talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness, and strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck into thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep unto thy name. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall serve it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. In Christ's name, amen. Let us sit down. So before we start our actual Sunday school class, let me tell you a little bit about our ministry in Mexico. We live in a city called Hermosillo, and the state is Sonora, northwest of Mexico, right at the border with Arizona. So the Hurricane Patricia didn't affect us at all. The hurricane was about 800 miles south of us. After I finished school here at Bob Jones, I went back to Mexico, and the Lord opens doors so that we could start the Iglesia Biblica Monte Oreb. We have been there 30 years now. In fact, this month we celebrate our 30th anniversary, and the Lord has been very faithful in fulfilling his promise, I will build my church. And now we have four elders, actually three. One has been nominated this month, and we have three deacons, and another deacon has been nominated. So Lord willing, we'll have four elders and four deacons soon. We have around 120 persons attending. Lord willing, Julia is going to give a fuller report and tell you more about the persons that come to our services. We have our own building. We first met in a house and a shop, but now we have our own building. There's in the poorest section of town, actually, a lot of single mothers there where we live, and a lot of men, but most of them drunkards. It's very sad, but the Lord has done a work on grace on some of them. A lot of the children come to Sunday school, and we have seen them grown and come into our youth group. And Lord willing, they will continue on and persevere in the faith. We have a pastor's conference every year. About 50 pastors come from around our area. Not all of them are Calvinists, but they're growing in the knowledge of the doctrines and practical practices of biblical Christianity. Lord willing, Jason Boyle will be with us in this conference next month. He lives pretty far away, about 1,000 miles from us. But we get to see him at least once a year. Just a couple months ago in August, we went down to see him and preach in Veracruz with our brother Lalo and Marcos Reyes, too. And it was a privilege to see them again. Another outreach that we have is the internet ministry. Of course, we are in Sermonario, and we have also our webpage. And now somebody started doing our services in YouTube. The gospel is being proclaimed, broadcasted to these means. And also I have a lot of opportunity to counsel other pastors or people that do not have pastors, but they are listening to the gospel through the internet, and they write to me. And it's interesting. Well, actually, it's logical. A lot of them will not speak to their own pastor or to the other brethren in their own congregations, because they feel shame and they prefer to remain anonymously. So they write to me knowing that I don't know them. I have no idea who they are. So they open their hearts. And some, obviously, there are some difficult cases. And I appreciate your prayers as we minister to these people. A lot of them do not have pastors. So it is always a joy when we have visitors in our congregation and they say, well, we listen to you on the internet. And I'm pretty sure the Lord has blessed the ministry of Sermonario. We really appreciate your help throughout all these years. I remember meeting with you for the first time in Sharon Drive a long time ago. Some of you remember Sharon Drive, and it was a ministry that changed my life, of course. And this is, as I said, Friday, this is where I learned to preach the gospel. And it's a privilege to be here with you and share. To me, the most helpful, more motivating thing of all is that you pray for us. Because I know that you not only say that you pray for us, but you do. And to me, the most edifying time in my life was to be in the prayer meetings in this congregation. So I really appreciate your prayer for us. So let's start our theme this morning. We're going to be studying Christ or Prophet. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to speak during the Sunday school hour. When I was in second grade in elementary school, one of my neighbors invited me to Sunday school. I was not raised in a Christian home, so I had no idea what he meant by Sunday school. So I asked him, "Is school on Sunday? Are you kidding?" I had no idea what Sunday school was. But I went, and it was there that I heard the gospel for the first time. So I really appreciate this time of Sunday school. Now, to me, Sunday school is not a preaching service. So I'm going to try not to preach. I'm going to try. In fact, to try to make it more of Sunday school, I'm going to ask some of you to read for me, and that way I can also keep my voice to preach in the next service. I also have some handouts. If we have time, we're going to underline some of the information there. And if you get bored with my speaking, well, you can read the handouts in the meanwhile, and at least you get something good out of this hour. Okay, during this hour, we're going to study Christ or Prophet. As Pastor Mercer mentioned, during this conference, we're remembering the Reformation of the 16th century, when God, in his mercy, called some men to preach the gospel after so many years of darkness. And once again, they preached that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, our Lord Christ Jesus. And they rediscovered that the mediator, this mediator Christ, has three offices or three functions. He's our prophet, he's our priest, and he is our king. In fact, the name Christ underlines the truth that he is the Messiah, the anointed one, because he was anointed to be our prophet, priest, and king. Now, during this hour, we're going to learn about Christ as our prophet under three headings. The first one is the importance of Christ being our prophet. The importance of Christ being our prophet. The second one, the evidence that Christ is the great prophet of God. The evidence that Christ is the prophet. And the third one is the practical. The diligence we should use to make Christ our prophet. The diligence which we should use to make Christ our prophet. Now, before these lessons, we have to clarify what a prophet is. Maybe some of you are thinking that prophet is the one that what tells the future. Well, in the Bible, a prophet is a person sent by God to reveal his will. It's a teacher. It's somebody sent by God to reveal his will. His ministry, of course, sometimes included foretelling the future. But most of the time, it was teaching. It was exhorting, motivating the people with the promises of God. Okay, with this in mind, let us learn the importance of Christ being our prophet. Why is so important that Christ himself be the prophet of God? Okay, we're going to read John chapter 1 and verse 18. John chapter 1, we're going to read some verses of this chapter. We're not going to study this chapter or these verses, but we're going to read some of the verses here. So if you want to put a marker in John 1, we're going to see these passages. So in order to save my voice, I'm going to ask some of you to read. And I'm going to ask, my nephew is here, Ben. I'm going to ask him, please, to read John chapter 1 and verse 18 loud so everybody can hear it, please. John chapter 1 and verse 18.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared.
Okay. Somebody has the King James Version. Okay, please, loud and clear.
Same verse?
Yes.
Oh.
And there's a difference.
Yes, there is. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared it.
Okay, thank you so much. We learn from this verse that it is essential that Christ be our prophet because there's no other way to see God. There is no other way to know God. It is impossible, impossible to see God unless Christ reveals us. It is true that we know that there is a God by creation. We see the creation. Beautiful the trees out here, the colors. Beautiful the birds. Beautiful the stars. We know that there is a God by creation. But we don't see God yet. We know that there is a God by our conscience, and he's holy. We know that. And it's a God so holy that hates sin. But nobody has seen God. And it is not because God is hiding. The problem is that we are too small, too microscopic, to see such a great, infinite, super transcendent God. One of the prophets, Isaiah, says that all the nations are like a drop in a bucket. Can you think of yourself in that little drop? If all the nations are like a drop in a bucket before God. But also, and this is the real problem, God is so holy. He's so much light, so much majesty, that our eyes and our bodies could not see him. And the real problem is that we're filthy. We're unclean. We're dirty. We're sinful. There's no way to get near to so holy a God. And furthermore, sin has put our eyes out. Sin has put out the eyes of our soul. We're really blind. We cannot see God. We are ignorant of the reality of the universe. We cannot know it. Now, let us suppose that you say, well, so what if I don't see God? I have my life. I have my work. So what that I cannot know him? Well, maybe you don't say those words. But actually, you are living those words. You are acting like that. You are actually too busy with your life
that you don't have time for God or to look for him.
Well, listen to the second reason. It is important that Christ be your prophet, because if Christ does not reveal God to us, we will never have peace. We will never have eternal life. We will be eternally lost. The Bible teaches us that we were made by God and for God. Those that write notes here can write Romans 11:33. We were made to have communion with God. So our soul, ourselves, we will never have peace until we see God. We might have money. We might have education. We might have a girlfriend. We might have a boyfriend. We might have a house and a nice car. But we will not have real peace, real satisfaction. There is going to be an emptiness, an anxiety within us. There's something missing. God is the one missing in our lives. As a famous quote of St. Augustine says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." You see, eternal life is more than living forever. It is knowing God. It is seeing God. It is being with God. And that is what our soul is yearning for. That is what gives real meaning to our existence. That is why the Lord's Prayer prayed, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So, if Christ does not reveal God to us, it is impossible to have eternal life. We will be lost forever with God. And not seeing God, listen here, this is a very important lesson. Not seeing God is the hell of hell. Not being with God is the hell of hell. Hell is terrible because of the thirst. Hell is terrible because of the eternal hunger. Hell is terrible because of the flames and the darkness and all that. That's terrible. But the most terrible things for our souls, if we go to hell, the most terrible thing is to be without God, without his presence, without his glory, and knowing that for all eternity, we will be without God, and that will be the hell of hells. We need Christ as a prophet. We need Christ. It's really important. Now, in the last place, and it's in the last place, but it's the most significant, it is important that Christ be our prophet, because if he does not reveal God to us, then we will never worship God as we ought to. If Christ does not reveal God to us, we will never worship, praise God as we ought to. Oh, listen well here. Oh, I hope that you understand. Christ being a prophet at the end is not about us. Christ being a prophet, it's not about our not going to hell. Christ being our prophet is about God. It's about his glory. It is about our knowing how to worship him. See, the Bible teaches us that God does not receive our worship unless we worship exactly as he requires we do it. He will not receive our worship invented by our imagination or tradition.
That is idolatry.
There were two sons of Aaron who offer worship to God, incense to God, a strange fire. What were the names of Aaron's sons?
That, Nadab and Abihu?
Yes, Leviticus chapter 10. To me, it is incredible to think that they were the sons of Aaron. They were to become the high priest. They have communion with God with the 70 and Mount Sinai. It's incredible. These men were not hippies. They had no demerits. And they came to worship God, but with something, with some fire, some incense that God did not ask for. You see, God has to be worshipped exactly as he says. And only Christ can teach us how to approach God. And he must be our prophet or teacher so we can know. Okay, very well. We have learned the importance of Christ being our prophet. Let us see the evidence that Christ is God's prophet. But before we see the evidence, I must clarify that Christ is not God's prophet like Moses or Isaiah or Jeremiah. It is not like the Muslims who said the Muslims believed that Christ was a prophet, just like David was a prophet. To them, Noah was a prophet and Abraham were prophets. To the Muslims, no, not like that. Christ is the prophet of prophets. Christ is the prophet with capital P. And this is the first evidence I want you to see. The Old Testament predicted that Christ will be a prophet, a teacher to the nations, a wonderful counselor, says Isaiah. John, we're going to read now John chapter 1 and verse 19 through verse 21. And I have my friend Andy. Let's see. Workman, yes, please. Andrew, you have John chapter 1, please, if you read aloud. John chapter 1 in verse 19 and verse 21. And it's better if you have the King James Version, because my notes and everything is going to the authorized version. Well, let's try it. If not, if any heresy or anything, we have fire out there ready for all the heretics. They don't have the right versions. John chapter 1 and verse 19 through 21.
Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you a prophet?" And he answered, "No."
And verse 25 too, please. Nor the prophet. What were they talking about? What were they thinking? Why this question, the prophet? You see, the religious leaders knew of Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18. They knew that God had promised the special prophet. John the Baptist denies that he was the prophet, but mentions that somebody is coming after him. And that person is so important that John is not even worthy to untie his shoes. The next day, Christ comes to where John is. John recognizes Christ as the one from God. John recognizes Christ as the one who has the Spirit. John recognizes him as the Son of God. This is it. Somebody else, please. John chapter 1 and verse 1, 29 to 34. Jeremiah Mooney, I'm sure you have the right Bible. Thank you. John chapter 1 and verse 29 to verse 34.
All the way through to verse 34.
Please, 29 to 34.
The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Thank you. We don't have time. We're limited on time. But you can think of these verses, especially the Spirit descending on Christ and what Isaiah says. That Christ will have the Spirit, especially for this ministry. Another evidence that Christ himself is a prophet is that he said that he was a prophet who spoke from God. Oh, let us read now John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 49 and verse 50. John chapter 12, verse 49 and verse 50. Dr. Dunbar, will you please read these verses? John chapter 12 and verse 49 and 50.
For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is everlasting life. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Very clear. Well, let us now in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, in verse chapter 13, and verse 31 through 33. Here is really interesting, and it is Christ as a prophet prophesying about himself. Christ as a prophet prophesying about himself, about his death. Those who heard Dr. Paisley preach on this passage will never forget how he read that phrase, tell the fox. Who wants to read it? Somebody who has not read. Okay, Luke chapter 13, verse 31 to verse 33. Yes, Owen. And 33. Did you hear that? You know what that implies? I'm a prophet, and I'm going to die there. Christ spoke from God. And that's why he spoke with such authority, with such wisdom. It says in the Gospels that the hearers were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In John chapter 6 and verse 66, we read about a time when some disciples deserted him. And he asked the apostles if they were going to leave him too. And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of eternal life. Some soldiers later were sent to arrest him. They return to the scribes and Pharisees. And the scribes and Pharisees, the priest says, where is he? Why have you not arrested him? And they say, no man has ever spoken like this man. Now, these soldiers were not weak, pusillanimous, effeminate soldiers. I imagine the soldiers very manly, very strong, cruel, ready to pounce on him. But they hear Christ
Nobody speaks like, nobody has ever spoken like this man. So they send other soldiers, and Judas Iscariot goes with them. Before they say anything, the Lord approaches them and asks them, "Who are you looking for?" They answer, the soldiers, "Jesus the Nazarene." And do you remember what happened? This is John 18. You can read it later. The Lord said, "I am." Do you know what happened? After he said, "I am," the soldiers fell down. And I can imagine the trees falling down. And all the animals that were there falling down. He's a prophet. He's God. He's a prophet from God. He speaks with such authority, such power. He's a prophet of God. Now, the third evidence is that Christ efficaciously reveals God to us. Christ efficaciously reveals God to us. In other words, Christ successfully carries out his function as a prophet. Whatever revelation we have from God, it comes through Christ. You probably think that the New Testament, we have the New Testament because of Christ. But we have the Old Testament because of Christ. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 to verse 12. Dr. Overly, will you help us with this? First Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 to verse 12. Who? What? Who told them? The Old Testament prophets? Who told them?
It was the Spirit of Christ. Which was in them did signify and it testified beforehand to the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to.
It's fine, thank you. Whatever revelation we have of God is because of Christ. Old Testament, New Testament, whatever revelation is because of Christ. And the most wonderful thing is that Christ taught us the gospel. He revealed to us the gospel. Christ did not come as a prophet to teach us about self-esteem or how to make friends and influence people. How to retire with enough money. No. He came to teach us about God, repentance, eternal life. This is the most needful thing for us. He came to teach us how to live pleasing God, how to worship him, and how to die in peace with God. Now, the problem is that we have hard hearts. Sin has put our eyes out. We're ignorant, very ignorant. Christ then has to teach us, but also he has to open our hearts. Also, he has to give us understanding. And as a prophet of God, he does it. This is wonderful. This is tremendous. This is a miracle. He is the one that opened Lydia's heart. No, and that's another verse here. Luke 24 and verse 45. After the resurrection, Christ appeared to some disciples and then to other ones. And we read in Luke 24 and verse 45. Who would like to read it? Dr. Masco, my history teacher. Luke chapter 24. And we're going to start with verse 44. And to verse 45, please.
And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding.
Who? He opened their understanding, the disciples, who had been with him 3 years, and ever since they were 3 years old, they had been listening and reading and about the Bible. But it was until that day that Christ, the prophet of God, opened their understanding. I'm sorry, I interrupt you.
That they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead.
Isn't that wonderful? We have such a wonderful prophet. He teaches us. He opens our heart so we can understand. In a sense, he puts our eyes back. And not only that, our prophet is more wonderful because he teaches us. He gives us understanding. He gives us the will and the doing. Do. That is a prophet from God. That is what we need, isn't it? We need to read, but we need to understand. We need a change of hearts. We need the will, and we need the doing. And that comes from Christ himself. That is what our children need, isn't it? They can come here. I'm in a family, I think, so I think I can tell you this as a family, my friends, with all confidence and sincerity. The first time I came here, I saw one of my co-students here in the academy. I went to the academy. And I couldn't believe it, that he was here. Because he was the worst student I ever knew. Not in grades, but in mischief. In character. He was here. And when I came here and listened, I thought, this is the best preaching in the whole world. This is the right doctrine. They're preaching Christ. How can it be? It can be that our children come here all their lives. Learn the catechism. And not be Christians. But isn't that wonderful? That we can trust that Christ can open their hearts. We can't. We haven't tried and put them in the right schools and going to the camps. Bought them books. We can't. But Christ can open their hearts. And give them the will. And the doing. Isn't it wonderful? We have such a prophet. That can change our children. Our friends. Or husbands, or wives, or relatives. Christ is such a powerful prophet. They can open hearts to understand the gospel. Now, I'm limited of time. How am I doing? 5 more minutes or 5 more hours? 10 more minutes? Okay. I guess I'm going to go quickly here and read them.
And so I can give you all the evidence and all that we have here. Number four, that Christ is a prophet from God. Another evidence is that God himself confirmed him as his prophet. God himself confirmed him as his prophet. On Friday, we noticed how in the Transfiguration, Christ was found alone. And then God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Fifth evidence, Christ was recognized by the people as a prophet from God. Luke chapter 7 and verse 16. Somebody wants to read it? Luke chapter 7 and verse 16. One of the students of college, they're here. Be not afraid, unless you have the wrong version. Be afraid. Luke chapter 7 and verse 16. Somebody just raise your hand. If not, I'm going to have a volunteer do it. Volunteer by my own hand. Okay, yes, please. What's your name?
Carter.
Carter.
Yeah, he says verse 16.
Yes, Luke chapter 7 and verse 16. They saw the miracles. This is a prophet. Nicodemus himself came to Christ and said, "We know that thou art a teacher from God, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." We know you're a prophet. And this is another evidence. Christ did many miracles as a prophet of God. Somebody, John chapter 6 and verse 14. John chapter 6 and verse 14. 6:14. Yes, please.
Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet who should come into the world."
Yes. Of course, Christ did many miracles, great miracles. Our time is gone to make a list or even review them. But may I mention just one miracle? Just one. You. You are here this morning, Sunday morning, 9:30, when everybody else is sleeping. You are here believing. That is a great miracle that Christ did. The last evidence that Christ is a prophet of God is that Christ's predictions came true. Christ's predictions came true. All his prophecies were fulfilled. Now, if we think about it, all the prophecies are his prophecies because all the prophecies of the Bible were revealed by him. And all have been fulfilled or shall be fulfilled. So adding all this up, we can say that we have plenty of evidence that Christ is God's prophet. Christ, the Word, is the Word of God, the Logos of God. The light come from God, the wisdom of God. He's the truth of God. So let us finish our study thinking of the diligence which we should use to make Christ our prophet. The diligence which we should use to make Christ our prophet. And I base this, if you want some verses, you can write there, John chapter 1 and verse 35 through verse 39, where the disciples of John the Baptist found out who Christ was and went after him. Teacher, Rabbi, where do you live? Where are you going? And they went after him. You can read that in John chapter 1, verse 35 through verse 39. So as those disciples, we should with all diligence make sure that Christ is our prophet for our souls. The author of Hebrews, after having said in verse 1, chapter 1, God has spoken to us many times, in different manners, to the elders, to our fathers by the prophets, had in this last day spoken to us through his Son. And then he says, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 4. Somebody, please. Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 1 through verse 4. Who would like to read it? I asked Pastor Mercer if a woman can do it, and he said a woman can do it. This is Sunday school. So she's not going to preach. She's going to read. Somebody? Amy, my friend Amy. Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 1 through verse 4. Thank you. We're going to see more of this. But don't forget here, without Christ, we cannot know God, period. We will not know God. We will not know about eternal life. We will not know how to worship God. We will not know actually how to live and die in peace. Therefore, we should show all diligence in listening to him, listening to the words of life. So in practice, and this is a practical section here. In practice, this means, number one, numero uno, number one, with all diligence, hear and learn from Christ what he reveals to us in his word. With all diligence, hear and learn from Christ what he reveals to us in his word. This is very basic, the super basic thing. Read and seriously think every day about some passage from the Bible. Here we have the revelation of God. Here we have Christ speaking to us. Let us not be like Martha, that was too busy to be with the prophet. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. If you are on Facebook, or playing Xbox, or checking the TV, or cooking a lot of pretty cookies, and don't have time for Christ. Those things are not bad. I love cookies. It's fine. You can play. You can read the newspaper. It's on. But if we don't have time for reading and listening to a prophet, there's something very wrong. Number two, with all diligence, hear and learn from Christ in the preaching of his word. You see, Christ continues to be our prophet through our teachers and preachers. We must listen carefully to anyone preaching God's word. And here, I would love for you to read the handout later. Please read it, especially the last part. Dr. Kearns, he's not here, but I'm sure he authorized my taking copy of that. Read it, please, afterwards. And it teaches you, as a priest, we don't have priests, but as a prophet, Christ also delegates, and still we have the prophet speaking to us through the pastors. When I was a student at Bob Jones, we had our favorite preachers. I'm not going to say names because there are some here and some are not, but they have retired, I know, but I better not say any names. But we, as the students, and I was immature, of course, but sometimes with a not-so-good teacher or preacher will speak. And we knew when he came down in the auditorium and he walked out, oh, he is preaching. So we put our brains off and put our brains in automatic pilot. We were with our eyes open, but everything else was closed. So we were sleeping away. That's not good. That's not good. That's sin. That's sin. We have to be very careful here. If anyone is preaching from God's word, we must listen, one verse, one word from Christ is worth the effort. It can change our life. It can change our ministry. One word can feed our souls. Number three, with all diligence, hear and learn of Christ in the sacraments. Christ, our prophet, speaks to us through all the means of grace, including the sacraments. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to come prepared to the Lord's Supper and listen to Christ, when he's teaching us. I remember here, in fact, I was probably sitting with Pastor Hughes. I will never forget, and we were partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I was getting ready, and I read the verse. And impressed my soul. It fed me. Come ready to partake of the Lord's Supper and listen to Christ as a prophet. And number four, with all diligence, hear and learn from Christ alone. It is not true that all religions take you to God. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. And friends, once again, woe unto you if you don't listen to him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 to verse 29. Pastor Hughes, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 to verse 29. Don't you love his accent?
Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may be made. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
Wow. Number five, with all diligence, hear and obey Christ's instructions for daily life. With all diligence, hear and obey Christ's instructions for daily life. Writing in 1886, the 19th century, Hodge, the famous theologian of Princeton, wrote, Christians, okay, 1886, okay, 19th century, Christians nowadays make too little of Christ's function as our prophet. Today, 2015, is much worse. There are Christians, they have a problem. You know what they do now? They have a problem, they run to the psychologist. They have a problem, let me check in the internet. What is the answer here? Christians are not listening to our prophet. What's happening? No more family worship. They do not discipline their kids with the rod anymore. They're not listening to the prophet who said in Proverbs, Christ is the author of Proverbs. Christ is the author of the Bible. He said to use the rod. Christians are not listening to the prophet. They do not sanctify the Lord's day anymore. Friends, let us listen to Christ for our salvation and for our daily lives. He is the only one that teaches us the best way to take care of our wives, our husbands, our kids, our jobs. He is the only one that teaches us how to love God and our friends as we ought to. Is my time gone, Pastor Mercer? Yes? Yes? Okay. I'm not going to give you the other lessons. You can listen to them in sermon audio. They are in Spanish, though. but let me tell you an experience I have, and I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not charismatic. But one time I was walking in my yard, and this was a couple of years ago. It was not in the beginning of my ministry or in the beginning of my salvation. But I was walking in the yard of my house. And it's the most basic thing. Maybe you are thinking, what? What? After you listen to what I'm going to say, you think, that happened? That impressed him? But let me tell you, okay? I was walking in the yard, and I stopped suddenly, and I realized, and it was a spiritual moment, I will call it, such a simple thing, but encouraged my soul. I suddenly realized
I cannot see God. There's no way. I cannot see God. The only way I can know about God is through Christ. Christ reveals him. And that's what happened to me. Has it happened to you? Have you ever come to that conclusion? I cannot see God. Whatever I can know of God is in Christ, or Christ, or prophet. We pray, Pastor Mercer. Okay. Let us pray and be dismissed. And please read the handout. There's more information there, and there's some more verses. But it's the most wonderful thing to find Christ is our prophet and how he teaches us and he changes us. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Andy Wortman if he will please pray for us.
Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus who has come to take away our sins. He's appointed to the Spirit above which one being our Spirit of Christ is with us to open up our eyes.
Lord bless you.